Welcome to the Mentally Healthy Workplaces podcast series. In this episode, our mental health and wellbeing inspectors describe the risk management process for mentally healthy workplaces.
People can sometimes feel overwhelmed by the prospect of managing risks to mental health in the workplace. Fortunately, we don't have to reinvent ways to keep people safe at work. Workplaces should already be familiar with the safety and health risk management process: identification, assessment, control, and monitoring and review.
In this podcast, we'll take you through a step-by-step approach of how workplaces of any size can apply the principles of risk management to develop mentally healthy workplaces.
Our goal is to empower you to use the knowledge and skills you already have for managing physical hazards to manage psychosocial hazards and their risk factors. So, before we begin, let's look at a few examples of psychosocial hazards and risk factors.
Examples of workplace psychosocial hazards include stress, fatigue, bullying, violence, aggression, and burnout, all of which can be harmful to the health of workers and compromise their well-being. Some risk factors are unhealthy workplace cultures, poor change management, inadequate time for rest and recovery between shifts, and the misuse of alcohol or other drugs. Risk factors increase the likelihood of psychosocial hazards being present and unmanaged in the workplace, as well as the risk of harm to health to workers. For example, the risk factors high job demands, low supervisory support, and lack of control over the way the work is done increases the likelihood of exposure to the psychosocial hazard of stress.
In order to develop and maintain a mentally healthy workplace, psychosocial hazards and risk factors need to be identified, assessed, controlled, and monitored. Let's look at how you can do this.
Identifying psychosocial hazards and risk factors.
The first step in the risk management process is identification. A good place to start is reviewing workplace data that is already available to you. This could include workplace surveys, hazard and incident reports, grievances, complaints, employee assistance program reports, and workers' compensation information.
Irrespective of the size of your workplace, you should have access to this type of data in some form or another that you can take a closer look at. By examining this data, you can obtain some insight into what's happening in your workplace and identify opportunities to improve.
You should be looking for trends that are workplace-wide or specific to work groups, such as frequent absenteeism or repeated reports of workplace or work environment issues.
Another valuable source of data comes from consulting with your workforce. As the people who do the job, workers can provide useful feedback about how their work and work environment could be improved. This not only engages the workforce, but also provides a great starting point for getting people thinking about what controls are possible.
Once you have this information, you can identify the psychosocial hazards and risk factors that might be present and consider how you will eliminate or reduce workers being exposed to these.
As well as identifying challenges in the work environment, consultation with workers can also highlight the positive aspects of the work environment that should be promoted and enhanced. It is useful to know what you're already doing well so you can build on it.
You can consult with your workforce formally through surveys or informally through conversations with workers and safety and health representatives. The quality of the consultation will be enhanced by making sure your process is considerate. It is important to ensure that you have provided enough time, expressed the significance of the issue, been honest about your intentions, assured workers the process is confidential, and created a safe environment in which people can report their concerns without victimisation or negative consequences.
Assessing psychosocial hazards and risk factors.
After the identification of psychosocial hazards and risk factors in the workplace, the next step in the risk management process is assessing the risk of harm.
When performing a risk assessment, it is important to consider these three variables: how frequently people are exposed to the hazard, the duration of exposure, and the severity of exposure. Consider these factors for all the work groups or jobs in your workplace.
It is likely that different groups or jobs will have varying levels of exposure to each psychosocial hazard and risk factor. As some work groups or jobs may have a higher degree of exposure than others, you will need to prioritise the application of controls accordingly.
You can use existing data that was gathered during the identification stage to assess potential harm to health. This data can provide you with an indication of how hazards in your workplace are currently impacting worker health.
Psychosocial hazards can cause physical harm as well as psychological harm. Examples of harm caused by psychosocial hazards include musculoskeletal disorders, depression, gastrointestinal disorders, anxiety, and post-traumatic stress.
Controlling psychosocial hazards and risk factors.
The next step in the risk management process is risk control. Controls can be ranked from the highest level of protection and reliability to the lowest. This ranking is known as the hierarchy of control.
The hierarchy of control can be applied to physical hazards and psychosocial hazards with the same principles in mind. That is, eliminating the hazard first, if possible, and then applying risk minimisation strategies to reduce the remaining risk.
Let's take a closer look at some examples of how to apply the hierarchy of control to psychosocial hazards. Examples of elimination controls for psychosocial hazards include having clearly defined job roles and allocating additional resources during peak work times. Examples of controls that minimise rather than eliminate risks include rotating jobs for repetitive or highly demanding tasks, adjusting workloads, and providing supportive management and supervision to workers.
In order to effectively manage hazards within a workplace, it is good practice to apply multiple controls from all levels of the hierarchy. This is known to be the most effective way to reduce the risk of harm to health. For example, controls for one identified hazard may include a physical environment that adheres to good work design principles, a management framework that supports good mental health through appropriate policies and procedures, training and information so workers can perform their job safely, and access to support services for early intervention.
As with the management of any hazard, seek advice from an expert when you have reached the limits of your expertise.
Monitoring and reviewing the effectiveness of controls.
Work environments are never static, and ongoing vigilance, monitoring, and review are necessary for continuous improvement. It is important to monitor controls to confirm they are effective and their application has not introduced new hazards.
The monitoring process uses very similar strategies to the risk identification process. Like the risk identification process, the most efficient way of monitoring your workplace's progress is consulting with the workforce. Regular consultation allows you to keep track of how you're going and helps you to adjust course or refine your strategy where necessary.
For bigger or more complex organisational changes, it is useful to review your progress against baseline data after 12 months. This is because the effect of bigger or more complex changes takes time and might not be fully realised until 12 months after implementation.
Finally, make sure you document your risk management process.
Remember, to effectively manage risks for a mentally healthy workplace, apply a risk management approach to psychosocial hazards and associated risk factors as you would to any other hazard. Use existing workplace data for identification and review. Document your risk management process and recognise when you need to call in an expert.
This podcast is not a substitute for training, nor does it constitute training, which should address the concepts presented here and ensure recipients have the necessary knowledge and understanding to operate in a safe and efficient manner. The Department of Mines, Industry Regulation and Safety accepts no responsibility and disclaims all liability for any loss, damage, and/or costs incurred as a result of any reliance upon the information contained within this podcast.